Morning, church. Phil's my name. Good to have you at church. Welcome if you're visiting. Good to have you with us. Why don't we start by praying? Father, thanks for the opportunity to be here, to sit in comfort without fear, even closer than 1.5 metres away from each other as a family. And we just thank you for the great grace you've had on us. Thanks for the family and friends. Thanks for the opportunity to sing your praises and to be encouraged by what you're doing around the world and to hear your word. And we just want to pray for Jordan as he's preaching this morning at Cranbrook. Strengthen him. For John as he preaches at the Bethel service shortly, and Tar as he preaches at the Karen service this afternoon, and as I preach now. As your word goes forth today, we pray that you would use it to build faith in your people, to bring repentance, and bring people into relationship with you. So we ask this, and we ask that you would do your work in us, that you would leave us, not leave us today unchanged. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, over the years, I've tried to come up with a good question to ask people when I'm talking to them to find out how they're going as a disciple following Jesus day to day. And I've eventually landed on the question, how are you going in faith? How's your faith? How's your faith in Jesus going? And I wonder how you would answer that question if I asked you, how's your faith going? You might say, good, I think, or it's a bit wobbly or not so good at the moment. And it's an interesting question. I'm actually about to ask the whole church that question in a survey we're sending you this week. How's your faith going? So you've got some time to think about it. And the interesting thing I've noticed when I've asked people that question is so often people answer the question by responding about how they're going in their spiritual disciplines. So I say, how's your faith? And they say, don't worry about it, sir. All good. I say, how's your faith? They say, well, I'm reading my Bible and praying most days. I think, actually, that's not what I asked you, is it? I asked you, how's your faith in Jesus going, not what are you doing every day in your spiritual disciplines? And so it's an interesting question. I wonder at what point in the Christian era that became the answer to that question, how's your faith going? So how is your faith going? Well, my hope is not just to give you the answer to the question of the survey, so you all get that right. My hope is that this passage will build our faith in Jesus, because there's a chapter all about faith in Jesus. Chapter 5, there's two incredible stories about Jairus' daughter, about this woman who's been bleeding, and then we get another story about people who don't have faith after that. Well, it's worth coming up with a workable definition of faith. What is faith? How would we define it? Now, the Bible gives us a definition in Hebrews 11:1, which says, now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So other words you could use for faith might be trust. That's a good word that we use. Trust, faith, belief, confidence, assurance, but it's faith and trust and hope and assurance and things that you don't yet have, things that you can't yet see. I've put my trust in that. Now, I was trying to help some kids in a Year 7 class in Perth learn about faith. We were talking about the faith of Abraham, which is actually what our next sermon series next term will be on. And I thought, how do I show these kids what faith looks like? Because faith's not an inner feeling. Faith results in action. So I had my two-year-old then, Zach, with me on that day, and I used him as an object lesson to help them, which is fair with kids, yeah? So I thought, let's see what faith looks like. So I made Zach stand on a table and said, Zach, jump to me. And without hesitation, he jumped. And I thought, actually, that's no biggie. Let's put a chair on top of the table. So now Zach's about this high. Jump, Zach. And he does. And I thought, well, that's no biggie. So I put a table on top of a table. Zach's now this high. Jump, Zach. Zach jumps. I catch him. I thought, what happens if we put a chair on top of two tables? Now, I can't reach that high, so Zach has to climb up. So Zach's up here somewhere. Jump, Zach. And he jumps. And I catch him. And of course, that's why we use that term childlike faith, because the faith of a child that has no doubt. Zach never thought, Well, Dad will probably drop me now that I'm this high. He just believed, and he jumps, and then we find that is what faith is. That's what faith is. And so we're going to see these two stories about what true faith looks like from the book of Mark. Now, we've seen already Jesus doing incredible things. He's been healing the sick. He's been casting out demons and forgiving sins. And we're seeing that people are having different responses to him. Some people are following him. Some people want to kill him. And then there's a big crowd that keeps surrounding him, and maybe they're undecided. Last week in chapter 4, we saw four parables that Jesus told Jesus. Now we're actually going to skip two great stories where Jesus calms the storm. Remember that? Jesus is in the boat, and the disciples are terrified about the wind and the waves, and Jesus stands up and stops it. And then they're even more terrified because they realize that God is standing in the boat with them. And then the next story is about this guy who's called Legion, who lives in the cemetery. Remember that story? And Jesus delivers him, sets him free. And the story finishes with him going to the Decapolis, all those cities, and telling them everything that Jesus had done for them. And so today we see these three stories, Jairus' daughter, the bleeding woman, and then the people in Nazareth. Now, it's quite interesting because Mark, in his writing, has obviously combined these first two stories. He's kind of jammed in the middle of one story, another story. As they go to Jairus' house, there's this other story. And the stories are all about the same thing. And you can see that authors deliberately tied them together. Both stories, somebody's referred to as daughter, because both stories are about a desperate female in need. Both of the daughters have been are 12 years old. Well, one's 12 and one's been suffering for 12 years. Very similar stories. Both of them are about faith. Both of them have somebody at Jesus' feet in desperation looking for him to do something. So these stories are about faith. And so we're going to hear about their faith in Jesus, which will help our faith in Jesus as well. So let's kind of recap the stories, and then let's go back to the question of how's your faith in Jesus going? Let's finish there. So the Jairus story, part one, starts with Jesus has just come back across the lake from the Gerasenes. The crowd have gathered, as they always do. And then if you imagine Jesus surrounded by people, then Jairus comes and falls down in front of Jesus and pleads to Jesus for his daughter, who he's worried is going to die. So it's a very dramatic story. It's a great need that he has. Now, he's the leader of the synagogue, and so his job's kind of been kind of halfway between the admin guy and the senior pastor. So he kind of runs the place. He organizes the rosters, the cleaning, the building, makes sure preaching and Bible reading and all those things get done. So he's a well-known guy. People would know him probably as he comes there and he falls down in front of Jesus. Now, interestingly, most times so far in Mark, we've seen religious people, they've been kind of against Jesus, haven't they? And they've plotted and they've questioned. But this religious guy is now at Jesus' feet, pleading for his daughter. And that's an incredible show of faith, isn't it, for this man to come in such public nature to Jesus. And of course, Jesus agrees to come with him, which is great news. He's going to come to the house where his daughter is, which hopefully will result in her healing. And notice the crowds come as well. There's a crowd coming to Jairus' house with Jesus in the middle of it. Now, we're kind of in the middle of that story when this other lady enters the story. She's been bleeding, menstrual type bleeding for 12 years, and she's only got worse and not better. She's kind of a lady who belongs on the periphery or the margins of society, because with her problems, she would have been classed as unclean. She wouldn't have been allowed to come to the temple or the synagogue or to the town or to people's homes. So she would have been on the margins and ostracized from all people. But we see that she comes to the center of the story. The spotlight shines on her. And Mark wants us to know that her condition has only got worse. He kind of multiplies her problems because not only she had this problem for 12 years, but she's been to lots of people for help, and the very people who are meant to help her have only caused more suffering. She's been to doctor after doctor and only got worse, and rather than getting better, and she's also spent all of her cash. She's also poor. She's got no money, and she's had no help, and she's only suffering more. And it's at this place she comes to Jesus. And she doesn't want to be in the public sight. Jairus, remember, he's kind of come front on to Jesus and fallen at his feet, but she thinks, I just need to come and touch his cloak. Now, we're calling her the bleeding woman because Mark doesn't give her a name. You couldn't see her any different. Jairus is this somebody. He's got a name. He's known in the community. This lady's a nobody, the woman who is bleeding. And so she thinks, if I just touch this cloak, if I just touch Jesus, I'll be healed. And she's right, because she touches his clothes and she is healed. She knows in her body that she is now healed. And Jesus takes her from the margins. Remember that whole thing of who touched me? There's people all around you, Jesus. But Jesus wants to do a greater healing with her. And so the spotlight comes on her. And she's not only set free from her bleeding problem, but she's set free from being ostracized and all of her social separation from people as Jesus speaks to her. As Jesus speaks to her. And says these incredible words. He doesn't say, woman. He doesn't say, woman who's bleeding, or you nobody. He says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Can you hear the dignity and the honor that Jesus gives to this nobody woman? No, not a nobody. Daughter, loved child of God. Incredible account. We don't exactly know what happens next to this lady, do we? We can only imagine that now being healed, she comes back to the center of community life. She's at the temple, she's at the synagogue, she's at the market, she's in people's homes. Her head lifted up, she's been given honor and dignity. She's become somebody because of Jesus. Well, we return now to the second part of Jairus' story, because the whole time you imagine Jairus is standing there next to Jesus as this whole healing has happened. And in one way, he's probably thinking, oh, this is kind of good, because the compassion that is being shown to this woman is exactly the compassion that my child needs. And so Jesus is the right guy. But the whole time they're just standing there. They're not moving towards the house. And so there must be a sense that he's kind of trying to move the party along. Come on, Jesus, keep coming before it's too late. Well, it turns out, doesn't it, that it is too late, because the daughter has died. She is now dead. And we get this announcement that's made to Jairus. Don't bother him anymore. Your daughter has died. And you can only imagine Jairus's dying on the inside at this news, this incredibly sad news about his daughter. But Jesus says, don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. But she's dead, just believe, Jairus. And of course, Jairus has just been privy to a faith-building story, hasn't he? He's just seeing the healing of this woman, and it's been good for him. Just believe, Jairus. And so Peter, James, John are taken past the mourners and the mockers who are mocking Jesus. You remember Jesus said she's just asleep, and they laugh at him. And then with the parents, they go into the room. And no doubt this daughter is laying on the bed peacefully, not moving, not breathing, not alive. And Jesus reaches out a hand and says, Talitha kum. Little girl, I say to you, get up. And she stands up. How incredible is this story? Is there nothing that Jesus cannot do? Calms the storm, heals the sick, forgives sins, casts out demons, and now raises a little girl back to life. How incredible is that? Everyone is praising God. Everyone is amazed by Jesus and what he can do. But we soon enter a story where now there's amazement, and this time from Jesus, about the lack of faith of the people in his hometown. So let's now just read that, the first six verses of chapter 6. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, among his relatives and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. I do like that. He can only just do a few miracles there because their lack of faith. Incredible that for the first time in Mark's gospel, the word amazed is not being used about Jesus, but Jesus is amazed at their lack of faith in him. But if you can imagine going back to your hometown where you grew up as the Messiah, as a prophet, maybe as a senior pastor. I always think, what would it be like to go back to Katanning as the senior pastor? And half of Katanning's here anyway, but isn't that Philip? Isn't that Dawson and Margaret's little boy, that shy boy? And Jesus, isn't he just the carpenter from down the road? Like, who does he think he is? Like, we know him. We know who he is. He's nothing special. And so they don't have faith in him. Of course, all these stories then point us to having faith in Jesus. And the question comes back to the question for us is, how's your faith going in Jesus? How's your confidence in him? Now, of course, we have trust and confidence in a person whose name is Jesus. Not in our Bible reading plan or our good works or in our religion. Our faith is in a person who left heaven, became a man, died on a cross, rose again. But you think, well, actually, these stories are about people's faith in a problem in Jesus because of a problem. They came because they needed healing or something like that. But actually, our problem is greater than their problem. Yes, she was dying. Yes, she was sick. But the actual problem that we put our trust in Jesus for is our sin problem, our greatest problem, the one that's going to take us to eternal death if it doesn't get dealt with. And so when we ask the question, do you trust in Jesus? What we're really saying is, are you continuing to trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin? Are you continuing to trust in him daily that he died for you, that he rose again and he's coming back? Are you trusting in him that when he comes back that he will call you into his family for all time? Are you trusting him for that? Now, of course, for my heart and yours, it's very easy to move from confidence in Jesus to confidence in self, dependence in Jesus to independence from Jesus. And so there's that regular daily walk of trusting Jesus as we put our trust in him and not someone else, not even ourselves. So these stories are about true faith. And we've seen that faith is an action. It's not just a feeling. There's no use saying to the kid standing on top of the chair, just jump. I know, I believe you'll catch me, Dad. I don't need to jump. No, I believe. Well, you need to jump if you believe. No, I believe. You need to jump because faith has legs. Faith does something. Faith has a voice. Faith has hands. Faith will cause you to move. It's not an issue of our works. It's an issue of trusting in Jesus. Maybe another question we could ask ourselves rather than how's your faith going? How are you going with worry and fear? Notice that both of the stories, there's worry and fear, and that trust in Jesus overcame that. And Jesus says, don't be afraid, just believe. So what is it that keeps you awake at night? What is it that's on your mind first thing in the morning? What is it that's capturing your heart? Well, don't worry, don't fear, just trust in Jesus. And so the daily life of following Jesus is surrendering ourselves to him. It's giving ourselves into his hands, living for him and not for us. Now, of course, that will result in us opening our Bibles because just as we've done today, by reading the scriptures, our faith grows as we were again pointed to Christ. It will require us to trust and to pray as well in response to what we've been reading. So are we taking our trials and our concerns and our fears and our sufferings to Jesus? Because we know that he has the compassion and he has the power to deal with our problems. Also know that there's no secret follower of Jesus. Remember this lady, she wanted to kind of sneak up behind Jesus, touch his cloak. She was worried that Jesus wouldn't have time for her, that he couldn't be bothered with someone like her. And remember the people who came from Jairus' house, they said, don't bother him anymore. Well, obviously in both cases, Jesus can be bothered. Jesus has great compassion on people, and even me, he's got time for us as we take our troubles and our concerns to him. What is it at the moment that you're not bringing to Jesus? That you're not bringing to his feet? That you're not pleading in faith and in confidence for? Because faith has legs. And maybe the question is how your faith is going is a silly question to ask anyway, because it should be seen based on our living. Maybe we don't ever have to ask that question, because as we live out our faith, it's seen in what comes out of our mouth, through our hands, and our legs. Faith has legs. It makes us jump. It makes us run to Jesus. And so therefore, in faith, we're forced to move. So rather than saying, how's your faith going? I can say, how are you going living as a Christian in your workplace? Do the people in your workplace know that you follow Jesus? By faith, you tell them that you're on about Jesus. By faith, you dare share the gospel with somebody else. By faith, you use your time and your money to be generous to others. By faith, you put your needs of others before your own. By faith, you walk across a room to talk to somebody that you've had a falling out with, even though you're terrified, by faith. By faith, you sign up for a ministry, even though you don't think you can do it, you aren't equipped for it. By faith, when a friend comes to you with their troubles, you say, I'll talk to my boss about that. I'll tell to Jesus about your problems. By faith. See, one of the problems that we have in our current world, and even not being affected by COVID and things, is that our comfort often wins the day. So we don't get off the couch. We don't do anything that would cause us great concerns or trouble. We're just comfortable all the time. No opportunities to show any faith, because we've kind of got this. We've kind of got our lives safely in our own hands. What would it look like to step out of your comfort zone and into faith? What would it look like to let an opportunity come your way to minister to somebody, to go and ask somebody to read the Gospel of Mark with you, to sign up for the internship in 2022, to sign up for some other ministry, to get out of your comfort zone? So how are you going with faith? How are you going with your faith in Jesus? So we're going to sing two songs now. So musos, do you want to come and join me on the stage? And in these two songs, I want to give you the opportunity to come down to the front and be prayed for, should that wish. So if you've never had your faith in Jesus, you've never come to him, this would be a great opportunity to come to the front, and we'll pray with you about that. If you've drifted far from him and need to come back, come and we can pray with you. If you've got a trouble or a need that you need someone to pray for, then come down the front. There's no secret, Christians. Faith has legs, so this is the opportunity to respond in faith. So why don't we stand and sing together.